Welcome to Finding My Perfect Awkward and Happy New Year. Happy 2024. Now, it's been a minute and the hiatus I've taken time to rest and like I wanted to think about the future of the podcast and the stream. I've taken like maybe a month and a half off and I came to the realization that I think that any platform should be used for good and to hopefully put a smile on people's faces, maybe help somebody along the way that is struggling, even if they are silently, which now brings me to introducing the first guest of this year. She is the host of Really Riley podcast. She has created her own manifesting We Got This brand, which I'm obsessed with. I'm also obsessed with her candle brand, House of W, that she makes from scratch, by the way. And she is one of the most badass mental health advocates I have ever seen. Hi, Riley.
Hello. Wow. What an intro. Holy cow. You know what? That's cool. Cause that's the first time anybody's like introduced me in that way since, you know, my merging into like a whole different sector of my career. So yay, thank you.
This all first started when I met you at the bar at MSBC and yeah. I met you kind of on accident a little bit because yeah. I was in a group and all of a sudden you stopped mid-sentence of whatever you were talking about. And you're like, I just got to say that you are such a bright light and I really wanted to just bawl my eyes out. So thank you.
Well, like, honestly, like, I don't mean to be like a weird stalker or whatever, but like I had,
no, it's
you
cool.
Know, you see new people when you go to boot camp. And I remember, you know, not that long ago, like being the new girl in the crowd and like being like timid. And I forget what TikTok I saw a long time ago that was like, if you have a compliment for somebody, give it. And I'm not a weirdo, I swear. But I remember looking at you across the room. I was like, she's, first of all, really freaking gorgeous. And I was just like, she just seems so bubbly and light. And let's face it, in a lot of these rooms, there's been a lot of people that have been in the industry for a long time. And it can seem like a lot of like, ho, 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 you know, like everybody's grandstanding or whatever. And you just seem like light and airy. And I'm like, I merge to people like that. So it's like, yay, I had a compliment. So let me just give it.
Oh, well, thank you. And I think more people should do that more, like more often.
You know, honestly. What? I think we would have a happier planet if that was a thing.
I think so. Honestly, people need to do that more often. But it not only made my day, but I was not a lot of people knew this at the time. I was in the last like year and a half, but more so in the last year, I was in like the deepest, darkest place I've ever been. Mm-hmm. And I was in a mindset where I was like, well, if I just appear happy and like overdo it, then nobody's even going to question it. And they didn't. Nobody questioned it. I was bubbly and happy and like loud and, you know, smiling mm-hmm. all the time and being somebody that nobody would question would be sad. You know what I mean? So right. For somebody that I'd never had met, where I met totally by accident, for them to say something like that to me really meant a lot. Stuck with me. So thank you.
That means the whole universe to me because, you know, I don't know. I guess maybe I'm empathic or something because when I was there to give a manifestation seminar, it was so cool because you actually won the raffle giveaway that I was giving away. And I yeah. love it because that damn water bottle took me so long to make. But I remember we had a conversation after the, you know, conference was wrapping down and I don't even remember what it was that I said to you. But there was a moment where someone else was saying something to you that did not mean to be the way that it came out, but it came out as like, you know, something I wouldn't have wanted to had said to me in the earlier stages in my career in the way of like, you know, you have to be this, you should do this. And I remember saying to you like, no, you're a person, you fucking matter, and you need to go with that. Like, I remember just feeling there was something there in you that I was just like, no, I just wanted to have that moment with you to be like, whatever other voices are over here, here and here in the head and the heart. And I just sensed, and maybe I'm a weirdo for that again, that there might be more to that layer because I have also been that girl for so long. You know, you spoke about my brands of like, We Got This, and that has always been my brand. I started that when I was a single mom and I literally was about to have a breakdown every 5 minutes. Yeah. And sometimes I still do. And I was telling myself, we got this. And then, you know, I don't know what it was about 2023, but I was also in a really dark, depressive place. And okay, the OG We Got This girl is sad. That's not allowed. But I have taken this journey in the last year of honoring my feelings. And I know that sounds very like catchy and cliche or whatever, but allowing myself to feel whatever the heck it is that I want to feel. With the caveat, though, I had an intern years ago say to me one time, because I was so upset over some stupid boy, and she was like, Riley, you're not a tree. Like, if you're unhappy, move. And I was like, what do you mean? Move home, move whatever. And she's like, no, you're not rooted where you are. So I always kept that in mind of like, okay, I'm going to honor where I am in whatever sadness, whatever depression I am, but I'm going to remember that there's steps forward. There's like steps after that.
I have been in this state of trying to also feel every emotion. In fact, I just, well, it does, but I don't cry. Like, yeah. I don't allow myself to feel so overwhelmed that I allow myself to cry. So that has been one thing where I'm like, no, it's okay to cry. As long as you don't stay in that forever and you eventually get yourself out of that hole, it's okay to cry. Like, you need to let out those emotions. And I don't. Even now, it's definitely something that I know that a lot of people are working on, because there's a societal standard that says that we can't always be crying, we can't be emotional and all of this shit. And it's stupid.
Especially in our industry. Now, I want to say this, but like, because I still will always love our media, entertainment, radio, podcasting, all of it. Like, I'm not trying to be a traitor to our, like, radio was my first love, but I realized that after 20 years of doing it, I got really good at having an emotion. And you look at that clock and go, okay, I have a minute and a half. I can go to the bathroom, run. I can cry really quick. I can wipe my tears. I can pat my face and make it red everywhere, so I can say I just sneezed and go back on the air and boom, you're a performer, right? But then I realized I didn't know how to cut off the difference of being that performer and going home and letting it out. I would hold that and fester it. And then that manifests into so many different things that I didn't realize later that came out in waves, because I never dealt with it. It was just, you know, it came out in everything, in my sleep, in my digestive, in my mental health, in my mood, in everything. And I felt like just a garbage pail of pent up emotions. And now I am allergic to not feeling what I have to feel. Mm-hmm. And I found, you know, like going to the gym too, like, I know that I talk about this ad nauseum, but like, I am a mean mofo in the gym. Like, don't come near me. Because I mean, I'm kind to anybody else that, like, I'll smile at people, but when I'm in the middle of the lift, I'm like pummeling everybody that has ever hurt me, every trauma I've ever had. When I lift up that, I'm feeling that pain. That's what I'm seeing. So you might not want to approach me there, but I never like to talk to people from a standpoint of like preaching to them. But if there was ever one thing I could hone into people, fucking cry. Like that ugly Kim Kardashian ugly cry face, like, get it out.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, in the workplace, sometimes that sucks. Don't do that, because, you know, that gives other people a window into weakness. And I don't believe in that. But honoring your feelings and being true to whatever it is, you know, because my son always says, he's 8, and he's like, Mommy, is it okay to cry? Because he'll have some people telling him that he's being a baby for that. I'm like, no, you cry. Don't fake cry, but cry.
Especially with kids. I mean, they're just starting to learn about emotion and to learn about what all of their emotions are.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and I still don't have mine figured out at 42 years old. You know? Like, and then they're changing with every other period. So I just think that when I am especially around women and stuff like that, that I see like pieces of myself, I won't say how many years ago, 2024 is all about self-care for me. And that sounds like such a stupid catchphrase, but it really is.
Yeah.
It's like being selfish in that and saying, I'm not okay. It's become this stupid thing where people think it's funny when people say it now, but it's a true and real statement that people should actually take seriously. It takes a lot for me to say I'm not okay. I'm a stubborn. My first word was no. I mean, I'm the person to be like, nope, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. No, I'm not fine. I'm not fine. And have people believe it when you say it.
There's a stigma. Yes. Well, there's a stigma to the whole thing. There's a stigma, again, around mental health in general. There's a stigma behind talking about it. There's a stigma behind saying you're not okay. There's the stigma behind saying you are okay and not meaning it. And they're like, well, why did you lie? I'm like, well, if I would have told the truth, would you have believed me? Would you have made fun of me? Would you have laughed? There's a stigma behind all of it. And it is dumb.
Really dumb. Like my biggest point of connection with my favorite artist, everybody knows it's Pink. I mean, I'm obsessed with her, will always be. She is like my goddess. And I remember she was talking about writing a song. And she said that her favorite artist back in the day was one where she would scream her music out the window. And she felt like living because she had been seen, because she felt like those lyrics had made her feel not alone. And when I heard that, I was like, that's what you do for me. But if that transcends to someone that is as, you know, famous and as successful as she is, and if you listen to her lyrics, she's always all about sharing like raw, gritty ass pain.
Yeah.
In a pretty bow, right? But I always think like that was so pivotal for me in connecting with anyone in an early age in life, going, it's okay to be fucked up. Like, it's okay to like, I mean, cause who isn't? And if you try to say that you're not, you are literally just pretending. Like, bullshit. It's not an Instagram filter. Life is not that way. Like, it's more beautiful to me to see like different shades of emotion throughout people than people that try to be pretty and perfect. Like, I almost feel as though, especially with us as entertainers in the business, like we have a certain responsibility that we don't have to share all our business, but we have a certain responsibility to be a little bit more open about the ups and downs of what we go through. Because if at any point in life I was a mentor or influential to anybody, I want them to know that it ain't all Skittles and rainbows. It never has been. And especially walking into any profession, from what I'm hearing, there's so much like mental anguish that can go into being a go-getter in a career that you can't get too wrapped up in that. You also have to remember that like once upon a time, you were just a little kid playing around and some bumps along the road might've bruised you a bit. I'm not about being a wuss. I'm not that person, but
you definitely want to be authentic.
Like hard and go, go, go all the time sucked for my psyche for a long time. For real.
Because you don't know how to slow down.
No, it was like when we went to Morning Show Boot Camp, everybody was really surprised that they did a mental health panel. And I was like, yes. Like I got up and blubbered all over everybody in the middle of
you
that.
Did.
No, God. I was just like, okay, I didn't mean for it to be all like this, but it was so monumental for me because one of the women that was up there, Kennedy, like she's one of the first mentors I ever had. And she's had a very, very difficult and intense road with mental health, but I was so fucking proud of her.
When it was happening, I was sitting in the front row, and when you would look around, not only were they honed in and eyes on them glued, but also there were tears. People were shaking. People were holding each other's hands.
Yep.
People were hugging people. As people, that's one, vulnerable. 300 people in one room, all sharing that same emotion, because five people on a stage are spewing out similar stories and similar emotions and similar experiences that these people have.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane. And that's why it was so widely requested.
Yeah, it was iconic.
It has been a mission of mine, to say the least, to weave out the toxicity, no matter who they are, family, friends, acquaintances, whoever. Mm-hmm. It has felt so freeing. Hopeful. Well, first of all, I did that. So I now know that I'm strong enough to do that. I can keep them away.
Yes.
And that's a form of strength that is like unheard of.
It's like, so I grew up Puerto Rican Catholic, you know, that it's just like, no matter what, family is blood and you can't, whatever, they do whatever they want and they get an eternal pass. I've always been the person that once you have a piece of my heart, you have it forever. No mas. Like I cut my mom off for 2 years after my wedding because there was some toxicity. But here's the thing. If those people that you cut off are meant to come back to you, they will, and they'll come correct. If not, bye. And this is my favorite trick to figure people out, because I've found that a lot of narcissists, it's fun to do this. Not fun, but as a child that grew up in trauma, I've learned how to like read and watch people. That if I'm dealing with someone I think is a narcissist, I will watch them in different rooms and watch how they treat someone I know they don't like in front of someone else. I'll watch their moves and how they speak, and then I'll watch if those same things end up happening to me. Like narcissism, oh God, I could go for ages on that one. Like, it's very, I don't know, it puts you in a different state of anxiety dealing with someone because they're charming and they're wonderful and everybody thinks they're so great, but on the inside, they're black as damn tar. So in dealing with a narcissist, I actually did a really great bit about this on the air. You ever heard gray rocking?
No.
So gray rocking is a narcissist. If you think of a, like, let's take this computer mouse. This is the gray mouse. This is the gray rock, and it's not doing anything, right? It's just sitting there and not moving, not saying anything. So a narcissist feeds off of your emotions. They feed off of your angst, your anger, your anxiety. So whenever they're doing something to try to get you to move, you don't. Whenever they're doing the most to try to get you to freak out, to cry, to have an emotional breakdown, you literally just sit there and you gray rock them. That will drive them into a fucking frenzy. Now, it's not going to mean they're not going to come back and try later, but that to me has been the biggest struggle and triumph for me, because you don't mess with this Latina. You know what I mean? Like, I'm always the one that will fight back, but I found that some people are just stupid. Some people just want to watch their world burn. And from a mental health standpoint, when you're dealing with said people, there's no reason giving up your brain cells or popping more gray hairs. You don't got to worry about that yet. You know,
I have a few. Stress, not aging.
There's a narcissist in there then too.
There's some stress in there. Yeah.
I call it sparkle. It's fine.
When you have friends that are narcissists, or when you have a significant other that is a narcissist, that is one thing. When it's a family member and you have that stigma of, oh, well, they're family, so they have to stay around. Like, you have to keep them around, especially if it's closer family members. You have to keep them around. Like, there's their family, like family's blood. No. If they are wanting control and they are wanting to manipulate, then absolutely the fuck not.
About narcissists, and you can think about this in relating to whether or not you wanted to cut a narcissistic family member off, is that they are never satisfied. They're emotional vampires, and you could be giving them your last drop of blood and they will still want more. So you're never going to change that person, because the root of all change is recognizing there's a problem, and narcissists just can't do that. Like, some people use that narcissist term as just like a stick in the fight, but it's actually a disorder. It really is. It's a shitty one, but it's a disorder. So it's like, to ask a narcissist to have empathy for what they're doing to you is literally like asking King Kong to be gentle. Like, it doesn't work. And I had to figure that out with a lot of people. Like, my mom, I wouldn't go so far as like narcissist, but she has some of those tendencies. And it wasn't, I mean, we're better now, but it was like, it wasn't until I had children of my own and I started to see some of those tendencies traveling on to them that I was like, oh no, like, you're my mom, so you got a pass for a while. But that's like what I said when I cut her off, like, for 2 years. It took that to shake her. Like, you know, I'm not afraid of taking you out of my life, because we get one life. Yes, you're my mom and you gave me life, but a certain space, there's two things you have to do with mental health and trauma. You have to recognize it. And again, don't be that tree, move. And you can't rest upon that. Like, at a certain age, I told my mom, like, I'm a mother myself. I'm a successful human. You've raised me to the space where I did the damn thing in life, and I'm still doing it. So now respect is earned. Relationships, when you reach a certain space in life, or anyone, honestly, are earned. You don't just get them because you're my mom. The fact that I'm even having this conversation with you is the reason that you're my mom. So I'll give you this instead of just cutting you off. I'll give you the chance to try and change it. But with narcissists, it's the most maddening. It's like Chinese water torture being, around them and dealing with them, because it's not going to change. And the problem is they come back around with that charming sense of, love that you think is in there. And you, like, I call it fix-a-hoe syndrome, because you want to fix them. You know that there's beauty in them.
Yeah.
But it's not long enough for them not to hurt you. That's their main goal in life.
You talked about the vision board event that you did at Morning Show Bootcamp, but you also did vision board workshop a few months ago, or a couple months ago, I guess now.
So what's funny is that when I was wanting to do these events, I was trying to figure out something that I could do to give back in the way of like charity or just having something outside of the radio station with the radio station that I could do that would connect more with listeners that meant something. And I actually had a listener be like, okay, teach me how to do a vision board. Cause I was talking about it on the podcast on the air. And yeah. We had done my host at the time who were so moved by it. She's like, I'll pay you to come do it. And I, obviously you're under contract. You can't do that. And as you know, the story goes, I was on my way out of that position, but I was trying to get it sales to do it. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to do it myself. And what's crazy is that I never imagined that that would be a running business for me. This last one that I just did, somebody actually paid me to be there. Like the other ones, I had to go and I had to get all, you know, like I had to buy the room and take my own money and invest and whatever, you know, in business, you spend money to make money. But this was one where they were like, we want you to come. We're going to hire you to come. And I'm like, excuse me, what? And this was my most terrifying of all of them, aside from boot camp, because that was pretty scary too. But these were people that didn't know, quote, who I was. They'd never heard me on the air. They didn't know about my podcast. I was literally standing butt-ass naked emotionally in front of them and telling my story. But once I started telling it and I saw someone that was cynical as hell in the front, she told me, she's like, oh, I'm just here with him. I don't believe in all this woo-woo stuff. She was crying by the end. She came up to me and told me how much she connected to it and how she felt like I was supposed to meet you. She came up and she's like, can I give you a hug? Is that weird? I'm like, girl, you don't know me. Come here. Come here. And it was such a pivotal moment for me in manifestation and believing in myself and coming out of trauma, sharing that trauma and connectivity, because people will tell me their deepest, darkest secrets out of nowhere because I'm open to that hope. That's the biggest part.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when I'll like take off like the silk like cover that I'll put on the vision board before the event, and I feel like I'm literally like taking off my shirt because I'm showing them all of my hopes and dreams from 2017. But I'm so proud of that. Because this last year especially knocked me on my ass. And I used to walk into some of these events going, am I a fraud? Like I had big time imposter syndrome. All of the talent, all of the heart, all of the hope that I have to give stays right in here in my heart. And I know that sounds cheesy, put a pageant crown on my head and let me wave with the flowers. Because it was the biggest like pivotal moment of, okay, I fucking got this for me. I get a little wisty when I talk about that because, you know, I built that on my own. I think, you know, I would definitely want for anyone going through a mental health journey to just realize that, like, this is not forever. It's not. Might still suck for a while. Might rear its ugly head back again. It's like that icky ex-boyfriend that comes back around sometimes. But this is not all that it is. You know, there's so many people in my life that have exited because of mental health in one way or another that if I could speak with them today, I know that they would probably say a different story. So like,
yeah.
I think it's important to just think about that because perspective is everything. Like once your heart realizes that you can get past that pain and be stronger for it, you're golden. And it's not easy. I'm not trying to make that sound like it's a damn cakewalk, but it's doable.
Where can people find you on social if you want to be found?
So there's a couple of different places you can find me. At Riley Couture, RileyCouture. I know that's a mouthful. I like to say it's Riley Couture, like Juicy Couture. Riley Podcast on Instagram and House of W by Riley for the candle businesses. And if you want to listen to the Really Riley Podcast, it's anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. You can also click the links on reallyrileypodcast.com.